Well, it's an interesting view from here. I've only been here for 3 months as the pastor, and yet already I stand here and there's no one here to listen to me preach. But hopefully people are tuning in online, and we appreciate the technology that we can use at this time to come together in worship as we've gathered together, hopefully in the homes, and worship the Lord through the music beforehand. And now we come together and we stand here before God's Word. And so if you'll take with me Philippians chapter 2, verses 19 to 30 is our text today. And if you need to find a Bible, you can pause your recording here in order to take your Bible and open it up to Philippians chapter 2. So Philippians chapter 2, verse 19, and God's Word says, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, so that I too may be cheered by news of you. For I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare, for they all seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know Timothy's worth, how as a son with a father he has served with me in the gospel. I hope therefore to send him just as soon as I see how it will go with me. And I trust in the Lord that shortly I myself will come also. Verse 25, I have thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, and fellow worker and fellow soldier, and your messenger and minister to my need. For he has been longing for you all and has been distressed because you heard that he was ill. Indeed, he was ill, near to death. But God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I am the more eager to send him, therefore, that you may rejoice at seeing him again, and that I may be less anxious. So receive him in the Lord with all joy, and honor such men. For he nearly died for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was lacking in your service to me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your word this morning, and Lord, we commit it into your hands, asking that your Spirit would do the work in our lives so that we'd be transformed by your word. Father, we thank you that your word has been given to us. Lord, that it is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. And Father, now we look to your word and ask for the encouragement that comes from your word, the challenge that comes from your word. Father, that we would apply in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Sadly, I think that it's a reality. Many Christians have given other Christians a bad reputation or a bad name. Sometimes it's the behavior of people who profess to be believers that actually turns other people away from coming to church altogether. And you might even know people who act as hypocrites, coming to church on Sunday and yet throughout the rest of the week, living their own lives their own way. Sadly, in the past, even in some way, I have lived in that manner. And so would these be the type of people that you would want to follow, that you would set as an example for the Christian faith? And I'd hope you would answer no, I can't hear you at this point. But hopefully the answer is no, I would not want to be like those hypocrites, those people who profess to be believers and yet they live a lifestyle that does not characterize their faith. And so then who do we follow? Who are the examples that we can see before us so that we would be like them and ultimately be like Christ? And in the passage today that we look at, Philippians chapter 2, verse 19 to 30, we're going to see two selfless models of service so that you will reflect on your own service. Two models of service so that you will reflect on your own service. If you will, you can look at your outline as well. Online, it should be available to print. And so I'd encourage you to go through that outline as I have traditionally each week that I've preached. And so again, it's there before you, and we're going to see today through this outline the two models. But Paul deliberately inserted right here in this point of his letter the travel plans that he had for himself and for some of his co-workers. He included them here right now as an example of the behavior and the action that Paul wanted the Philippians to demonstrate. So Timothy and Epaphroditus here both characterize the behavior that Paul urged the Philippians to have and that Christ had also demonstrated through his life and death. And having confronted the Philippians with their disunity and their selfishness in the first part of chapter 2, and then having spoken of Christ as the ultimate example in the next part of chapter 2, we see here now two models for the Philippians. Two models that the Philippians knew well and that the Philippians loved. And rather than just quickly briefing the Philippians on his travel plans and moving on, he worked into these plans a very clear description of these two men, of these two models, highlighting and emphasizing their selfless lives and ministry so that the Philippians and us today could consider our own ministry. So let us consider then the first of these selfless models, which is Timothy. We see that in verses 19 to 24, Timothy as being the first selfless model. And before concentrating on the description of Timothy, I just wanted to briefly point out Paul's plans for Timothy. We see this in verse 19 and then in verses 23 and 24. In verse 19 it says, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon. And so in verse 19 here, Paul initially informs the Philippians that he is planning to, hoping to send Timothy to them for a visit. He's hoping then that that visit would be a good time, an encouraging time for Timothy, so that Timothy would return to Paul with an encouraging report, so that Paul would be encouraged by the Philippians. It's important to know that as Paul made these plans, that he entrusted them to the Lord, that he had submitted to the Lord God Almighty, to Jesus Christ as his Lord, and that everything in his life was laid bare before Christ. And so it says, I hope in the Lord Jesus. Paul recognizing that God is sovereign over his plans, and he submitted them to the Lord. In this particular case, as Paul makes his travel plans, there's some sort of delay so that Timothy can't come immediately. And in verse 23, it tells us that that delay is so that Paul's situation would be known. It's worked out. That Paul was waiting on news of his own situation before sending Timothy. And yet again, we see in verse 24, that Paul submits his plans to God. It says, I trust in the Lord that shortly I myself will come also. And so Paul wanted to send Timothy. He was also hoping that he too could come for a visit. This visit was going to hopefully encourage or at least provide a report about Paul's situation, and secondly, that Timothy would come back and encourage Paul with the situation in Philippi. Now, I think that may actually have also been a reference to Paul expecting and hoping that the Philippians would take this letter and that they would apply it in their lives, and Paul would then receive the good news that the Philippians had received this letter that Paul was writing and that they responded in submission to the letter, honoring Paul and applying it in their life. Okay, but the real meat of this passage for us is the description of Timothy. And this is where we're going to concentrate most of our time on now as we consider Timothy as the example. And so we're going to consider three selfless descriptions of Timothy as a model for you to look at so you will reflect on your own service. The first description of Timothy is his selfless concern in verse 20. His selfless concern. And Paul begins by elevating Timothy here to a place that no one else had on Paul's ministry team. In the ESV, the English Standard Version, it says, I have no one like him. But in the NASB translation, I think there's a better idea here. When it translates, it's saying, I have no one else of kindred spirit. See, there was such a unique and special bond between Paul and Timothy that it was a relationship between them that Paul had with no one else. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 to 17, Paul actually there tells the Corinthians that he sent Timothy in order for Timothy to teach the Corinthians how to live and how to imitate Paul. Meaning that Timothy's life and his ministry was so connected, and that it was so much of a reflection of Paul himself, that it was as if Timothy was a double of Paul. And so Timothy was able to live his life so that the Corinthians imitated Paul, even though Paul wasn't present. Paul and Timothy also had a very strong and special bond together, working ministry union that was involved around the Philippians. In Acts chapter 16, we saw that Timothy had joined Paul's ministry team when the church was planted in Philippi, and we know too that Timothy later on went and visited the Philippians on multiple occasions. And so with such a close and intimate personal relationship and working relationship, Paul knew that Timothy had a strong, deep, genuine appreciation and care and concern for the Philippians. Timothy's attitude toward the Philippians then was one of selfless concern. He was not primarily focused on himself and his situation, but he cared immensely for the believers in Philippi who he was intending to visit. And having such concern is really, even right now, a key part of our faith as Christians, as the Westlock Gospel Chapel, because we're facing a situation here with the coronavirus that we can't meet on Sundays to gather to worship. We're not having small groups at present gathering together. So we have to show concern for one another in different ways. And I've been blessed to hear of many people in the church who are making phone calls and checking on people within the congregation, showing concern with their phone calls. And so I would encourage you, just keep doing that. But maybe you could do a Skype call or a FaceTime call so you have a face-to-face conversation with those people as well. And not only these forms of communication, but you could provide a meal for someone in need. You could offer to pray for someone. You could offer to do someone shopping if needed. So let us be characterized by a loving concern for others within the church as we see modeled by Timothy. And I would urge you not to do that even right now in this crisis where we can't go out of our homes, where we can't socialize with people, but may it begin to be a characteristic of our church, even when this is past. Now, not only did Paul describe Timothy as being selflessly concerned, but he described his young protege as one with selfless devotion. And so we see this selfless devotion in verse 21 as the second description that Paul gives about Timothy, and that is important for us to look at as well. Selfless devotion in 21. And comparing Timothy with other believers around Paul at the time, Paul honored Timothy by describing him as selflessly devoted to Christ. Let us read it here, verse 21. "For they all seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ." And so while Timothy was selflessly concerned for the Philippians, others were focused on themselves. They were seeking their own interests and their own benefits. Which is certainly a link back to chapter 2, verse 4, where it says, "Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others." And so in this way, Paul is both honoring Timothy and challenging the Philippians about their selfish behavior, and lifting up and honoring Timothy for his selfless behavior. In contrast then to the believers in both Rome and Philippi, Timothy was selflessly devoted to Christ, not seeking his own interests, but committed to the interests of Christ. And are you in the same way selflessly devoted to Christ? Do you strive to make Christ most important and value His values? Do you serve a ministry for your own gain and benefit or for those of Christ? Apart from Paul describing Timothy as selflessly concerned and selflessly devoted, the third description to look at so that we reflect upon our own service is selfless ministry. And we see this of Timothy in verse 22, selfless ministry. Timothy's ministry was a proven and tested activity. And we see the Philippians were aware of Timothy's impressive ministry resume because it says, but you know Timothy's proven worth. Timothy had proved himself as a minister of the gospel, working alongside Paul, traveling with Paul, and likely facing real opposition and persecution. Perhaps for his own ministry, and if not definitely for his association with Paul. So Timothy's proven worth here was also described as being like a child with a father. And the illustration of a child with their father was common at this time of describing a close relationship or discipleship. The rabbis being the Jewish teachers of the day, they would speak of their disciples as if they were spiritual children. And in 2 Kings, Elisha called his mentor Elijah father when Elijah was taken up into heaven. So the close working relationship between Paul and Timothy was indeed close. Paul referring elsewhere to Timothy as his beloved son or beloved child in the faith. And their ministry was focused on the gospel. Paul referred to Timothy's gospel-centered ministry here in verse 22 as an act of service, using the word for slavery that we've spoken of previously in this letter. Timothy was devoted and selflessly committed to gospel ministry. He worked tirelessly for the cause of the gospel. He gave up his own rights and possible career goals so that the gospel would be proclaimed. And while certainly not everyone is called to give up their careers to be part of full-time ministry, even within your careers, are you looking for gospel opportunities? Are you selflessly committed to ministry in your workplace? Are you willing to suffer or be laughed at for the sake of the gospel? Timothy is indeed an example of selflessness. The type of person that Paul wanted to promote and highlight to the Philippians as a model or as an example, because they needed to live like him. But if the elders of the church here were looking for someone to be a model or an example, if we were choosing someone to be a model at Awana in front of the youth group, teaching someone how to live and work out their faith in the workplace, if we were looking for someone to be a godly parent, a godly spouse, or a godly child, would we choose you? Is your life characterized by selfless concern, selfless devotion, and selfless ministry? And I don't say this with the hope of making anyone feel bad if they don't think they'd be chosen, but rather as a challenge and to encourage you to consider Timothy as an example and to be like him, so that as you reflect on your own ministry, on your own service, that you would become committed to service as Timothy was. Now, using his travel plans to launch into a description of godly models the Philippians should imitate, Paul not only spoke about Timothy and his selfless service, but also about Epaphroditus. And so Epaphroditus is the second selfless model that we're to look at so that we would reflect upon our own service. And we see Epaphroditus as the selfless model in verses 25 to 30. In a similar way that Paul introduced Timothy by describing the travel plans he had for the young man, Paul briefly discussed his travel plans for Epaphroditus And then he zoomed in on the selfless qualities and example that Epaphroditus was. And so Paul's plans for Epaphroditus are at the beginning of verse 25 and then in verse 28. If we look briefly at verse 25, it says, "I have thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus." And so Paul's plans for Epaphroditus here were more immediate than Timothy. And I believe that Epaphroditus was the one who was going to carry this letter that Paul was writing to the Philippians. And in returning to the Philippians, Paul wanted to make sure Epaphroditus was well received and greatly honored. So while the Philippians likely sent Epaphroditus to Paul with the intention of ministering to Paul during his challenging imprisonment, it appears that Paul then thought that it was necessary, more important, to send Epaphroditus back to the church. And this quick turnaround for Epaphroditus was to serve as an encouragement to the Philippians when they saw him, which we see in verse 28. And also in verse 28, one of the reasons for Epaphroditus returning was so that Paul himself would be comforted, being, it says, less anxious. He would be less anxious knowing that the Philippians and Epaphroditus had been reunited. And again, while Paul could have just briefly mentioned these travel plans, he used these plans themselves to challenge the Philippians in their own service and in their selfish behavior. So we see in this passage another description of a selfless model to reflect upon. To keep with the theme of selflessness, I've categorized this description into three parts: selfless titles, selfless concern, and selfless ministry. In verse 25, we see the first part of these parts is Epaphroditus' selfless titles. And these titles can then further be broken down into two subgroups, those related to Paul and those related to the Philippians. I've used the word selfless in the heading of my outline here because each of these titles describes with one word different aspects of Epaphroditus' selfless commitment to others. The first three titles, brother, fellow worker, and fellow soldier, are specifically associated with the relationship between Paul and Epaphroditus. And for the sake of time, I can't go into more detail about what each of these titles mean, but I would say that there is a general to specific transition. The last two titles in this verse, in verse 25, refer to Epaphroditus and the relationship that he had with the Philippians. And again, this is a reflection on Epaphroditus' selflessness. So here Paul calls Epaphroditus the Philippians' messenger and their minister. Again, I don't have more time to go into these two words. However, of these titles, could you also receive these designations? Would they be associated with you and your ministry? Will you partner with the elders in the church like Epaphroditus partnered with Paul in ministering to him? And then beyond our community even, would you consider going on a short-term missions trip in order to support our supported missionaries, in order to be a messenger and a minister to the need of those supported ministries, just like Epaphroditus was for the Philippians to Paul? Now, alongside these five descriptive titles given to Epaphroditus, Paul described this man as one who had selfless concern. And so that is the next point here, the next part of the description that Paul gives to Epaphroditus. Epaphroditus as the selfless model for us to reflect on. We see this selfless concern primarily in verse 26, which is one of the reasons that Epaphroditus was being sent back to Philippi. In verse 26 it says, "For he has been longing for you all and has been distressed because you heard he was ill." This selfless concern was firstly expressed in his intense longing and desire to be with the Philippians. In verse 26, the word here, longing, is the same word that Paul used in chapter 1, verse 8, to describe his own longing for the Philippians, when he said, "I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus." Epaphroditus and Paul yearned, longed for the Philippians. And apart from this strong desire for the believers in Philippi, Epaphroditus also felt very heavy or concerned for the Philippians because of their concern for him. I think the word used here for distressed or heaviness is best understood or described if we look at how this one word is used elsewhere in the New Testament. It is only used two other times, and on both occasions in the New Testament, this word is used to describe Jesus' great distress when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane and facing his upcoming death. So clearly then, Epaphroditus had a great concern for the Philippians, being burdened by the report they had received that he was sick. Therefore, not being concerned for himself, Epaphroditus felt a much greater burden for the Philippians and how they would be doing in their anxiousness over hearing that he was sick. Verse 27 says he was indeed sick. In fact, he was sick to the point of death. In verse 30, it also says he nearly died for the work of Christ, risking his life. We don't know how Epaphroditus got sick, how long he was sick, how he was healed, but it was serious in that he almost died with this sickness. And so as we consider Epaphroditus' concern for the Philippians, I think it is important that we pause and reflect on the concern we have for others, especially when it would be easy to focus on ourselves. That when you're sick, do you respond in caring and showing concern for others? If your hours have been cut at work or if you've lost your job, how will you show concern for others? Will you show concern even for those who may be in a better position than you, and particularly those in a worse situation? Brothers and sisters, in showing this concern, I just want to encourage you that this isn't the natural thing to do. It isn't normal in this world to think of others more important than ourselves. But if that's what you do, it will be a testimony to the world about Christ and what he has done in your life. And think of me, with me, of Jesus on the cross. He was about to undergo the most excruciating, painful death that was imaginable at that time. He had faced great humiliation and was going to continue facing that humiliation as he was on the cross. And it may be even more than this. He knew that he was about to be separated in some way from the eternal relationship that he had had with God the Father, which is why he cried out, "Why have you forsaken me?" And yet with all this physical and relational pain, the concern that he had for his mother is demonstrated with his love and gentleness to ask John the disciple to care for his mom. This is a type of concern and care that we are to have for one another. Back to Epaphroditus, and we see not only the selfless titles Paul attributed to Epaphroditus, and not just the selfless concern he demonstrated toward the Philippians, but the selfless ministry he performed. Epaphroditus' selfless ministry then is the third part of the description Paul gives to this selfless model, so that you reflect on your own service. We see selfless ministry in verse 30. But in verse 29, Paul gave great honor to Epaphroditus through the description he provided to the Philippians. And it's with such honor that Paul commanded the Philippians to show to Epaphroditus and others like him, others who would also risk their lives for their faith. That's what it says in verse 29. So receive him in the Lord with all joy and honor such men. And so Paul may have been at this point actually afraid that the Philippians would have rejected or resented Epaphroditus as their minister, as their messenger, because he thought that, or they thought that he had failed at the task they had sent him for. So Paul wanted to make sure that the Philippians understood that nothing could be further from the welcome that Epaphroditus deserved. And therefore, rather than being a failure, Epaphroditus should be received with great joy, like a hero returning from war, like an Olympic gold medal winner coming back to their hometown, or maybe even like a husband bringing their wife flowers or chocolate. The selflessness of Epaphroditus' ministry was highlighted by his willingness to give up his life for the work of Christ, as it says in verse 30. This suggests that Epaphroditus was sick, but sacrificially continued in the ministry and the task that he had been appointed for, even if it meant his death. And as we see in the last part of verse 30, such a ministry could not be fulfilled by the Philippians because they weren't with Paul. And so Epaphroditus was committed to serving the Philippians and to serve Paul and ultimately to serve God, even if it meant his death. And what a selfless commitment to the work of Christ. What a selfless ministry and what an example he is to us. And it is the same attitude actually of Epaphroditus that is spoken of Christ. In chapter 2, verse 8, Paul uses the same two Greek words to say Jesus was obedient unto death. And now here in verse 30, that Epaphroditus ministered near unto death. And so in essence, the selfless models of Timothy and Epaphroditus are examples who followed the ultimate selfless example of Jesus Christ. And it is only because of Jesus Christ that Timothy, that Epaphroditus, and each of us are able to be selfless. Without him in our life, we continue with our own interests. We remain concerned for our own well-being, and as Isaiah 64:6 says, all our righteous deeds are like filthy rags. We must not serve in order to be accepted or try and be accepted by God. We must not serve for our own benefit, and we must not serve half-heartedly. Friends, Jesus Christ did not serve half-heartedly. His ultimate example that Paul gives in the early part of chapter 2 demonstrates that he willingly chose to go from the greatest heights that we can never reach to the lowest form of humility and service that we can never fully copy. Jesus, as truly God and truly man, was obedient even to death on the cross. It is his death that enables us now to have a right relationship with God. It is his death that has taken away sin and the consequences of sin for believers. It is his death and only his death that can provide us with the gift and promise of eternal life. A life that is assured and guaranteed because he himself rose from the dead and will live forever. So then now, if you will turn from your sin and turn to Christ, if you accept his death as the penalty for your sin and cry out for his forgiveness, you will receive life. Romans 10:13 says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For all of us who have sinned, we are called into God's service. If you have not stopped and paused and reflected upon your own sin, then I would urge you, beg you to stop even now and to consider your sin in the light of who God is as a holy and perfect God and the perfect standard that he demands. For all of us have fallen short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. We deserve eternal condemnation in hell. And yet if we turn to Christ, we will be saved. Being saved, we have eternal life. Being saved, we're called to live for God. We are then active members of the family of God. And we're called to be a member of the same body. And so, like Timothy, may we be selflessly concerned, selflessly devoted, and selfless ministers. And like Epaphroditus, may we be selflessly titled, selflessly concerned, and selfless ministers. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are such a loving and good, great, almighty God. You have chosen this day for us to be here, to go through your word, to study your word, to listen to your word. And now you are calling upon us to apply your word. And so I ask that you would help us in whatever way that we need to apply this word. May we apply it in our lives. May your Spirit work in us so that we would apply the word of God, so that we would be selfless in our lives and in our ministry, so that we would follow the example of Timothy, Epaphroditus, and of Jesus. And Lord, for anyone who does not know you, who cannot be a selfless minister because they are still in their sin, I pray that you would convict them of their sin, that you would call them to yourself even this day, and they may begin afresh, anew, as selfless ministers and children of God. In Jesus' name, amen.